Hi, Ken. Good morning.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Ken. Now I can hear you.
That's better. I have a new computer. My old one died, and I'm in one of those what am I going to do about my hard drive and all that? So I'm learning. Hi, who is this? You're muted, apparently.
Hi, Jennifer.
Morning, Jennifer. Hi, Steve. Hi, Aaron.
Morning. Good morning.
Ken.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm really good. Kind of excited about feeling like an official commissioner since now I'm in the meeting, not just asking questions.
Like Pinocchio, you're a real boy now, right?
Exactly. Hopefully my nose doesn't grow. Good morning.
Will we be able to see Ken?
Oh, I don't. Yes, you should be able to. Let
Okay.
me just be.
Make sure you start your video.
Yeah.
We
There we
are.
go.
Gotcha.
I was explaining I have a new computer and I'm not used to all the buttons. My old one died about a week ago. Now I'm worried about family photos and all that stuff.
That's always really stressful. My computer keeps like roaring and keeps saying, "Your computer is full, your computer is full." And
Yes.
oh my gosh. And I do back it up, but then you're always like, "Really? Is it backing up?"
Right.
One of those mysteries.
For some reason, I cannot, at least now, answer emails on my computer, and I'm sure it's simply a matter of a system preference someplace. But they don't come with how-to books. They come with on off. Figure it out yourself. My wife is the technical genius in our family.
Well,
So
good. Hopefully, she'll
she,
get you on course.
yes.
So, we're still missing a few. Guess I'll give a couple more minutes.
We were expecting that Laura was going to be absent, correct?
Correct.
Fix the light here.
And Jennifer, in case you don't see it, apparently we have two people from the public that are currently online. Peter Finkel and Sandy Friend are both here. Oh, look, there's Stanley Smith and Destiny. Perfect.
Hi, Destiny.
Hi, sorry. Tech errors.
We're still missing Joel, but we do have a quorum if you want to call the meeting to order, Jennifer.
Sure. Well,
Or whatever you'd like, up to you.
let's like one more minute,
Sure.
and then we'll start. Everyone can grab their last bit of coffee.
Right.
Well, here we are still in Zoom land. Never thought we'd still be doing this, right?
I did have a question. I think the city council was discussing whether commissions needed to adopt a particular plan for their meetings, whether Zoom or a combination. Aaron, maybe you could comment on whether that's happened.
I'm more than happy to answer that question when we're formally having the meeting. I just don't
Sure.
want to do it until we're out of order.
Of course, of course. Thank you for that. I'm scattered.
It's early. All right. Well, maybe we will just begin. It's been about a minute. And I was just trying to see the
I'm going to
participants.
grab a cup of coffee.
Okay. Then we'll wait for you, Stanley. I like your background. That's nice.
I like it too.
Destiny, how are you? Did you have a nice trip?
I did. Thank you very much. And I apologize that I couldn't attend, but I was on a plane to Vegas last month. So.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It was. It really was a nice time.
Time to be out of here too.
Yes. Get out of the smoke. So.
Yeah.
Jennifer, are you getting ready to go back to teaching next week?
Yep, we're in meetings and we start on next Wednesday. Sort of a strange day, but we'll start on Wednesday. Yep, so yes. And we're starting remotely and then switching to in person a couple of weeks down the road. And that was because the hospitals and administrators within the hospitals asked us to do that, which I think I respect that a lot, that they're like, you know, it would be good not to infiltrate our hospitals any more than we need to. So, yeah. So we're going to, I'm hoping to eventually enter a new normal, but somewhat in person experience. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Did they set a threshold of a certain metric to return to in person, or is that not clear?
You know, we all know that these things are in complete flux.
Sure.
I don't think there's ever a right answer. There's a goal to get completely vaccinated within the university, and that is like the biggest threshold and the biggest goal. But I don't even know those metrics yet. They're changing every day. Okay, I think we'll start. Even though Stanley's gone, I'm sure he's hearing us. And so I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order so that we can make sure we keep on track. And I'm hoping Joel will join us. I'll have to check in with him to make sure. Aaron, have you heard from Joel at all?
I sent him the email, obviously, but I don't believe I've spoken with him. I called the number on his application and left a voicemail, and he's never called me back. So those are the two attempts I've made.
Well, I'll reach out to him if he doesn't join us today. Okay. Meetings to order. I do want to request that, and I hope I'm doing it as well. I heard at the last meeting that some of us are quieter than others and that we need to make sure that our phone is as loud as it can be when we're speaking and that we're close enough to it so that all people can hear. So I wanted to say that up front. And I hope I'm doing that even though I have my mic and my computer. Any additions to the agenda that you wish to make?
I got a text message from Shane Abrams about the high school mural, and that there is an event on Sunday that I wanted to share with all of you so that you all knew about it as well.
Great.
And I also had a really nice discussion with Peter Finkel about an idea in terms of bringing the public into art, and I was hoping to just kind of share that with all of you as well at some point during the meeting. Cool. Neither of them are big items, but.
Great. So in the letter 7, we'll be talking about the AHS mural.
Great. And
you're welcome to add in that time. And then also in the goals and actions, I would love to hear what you and Peter have ideas for. And as we start to re-strategize what all of the goals of this commission are. Sound good?
Great.
Perfect. Those will be part of our agenda today. Any other agenda that you'd like to make? All right. Let's go to minutes then from the last meeting, August 20th. Anyone have any changes, additions? I do have one typo fix.
Okay.
Letter 7.
Yep.
Letter A, the sentence that ends with find someone should be find someone.
Is that a money-raising effort?
Got it.
That's all I saw. Anyone else have corrections to the minutes? Then, do we have a motion?
I motion to move to accept the minutes.
Second.
Great. Anyone, all those in favor of the minutes as they are amended? Great. Anyone against? Then they're passed. Okay, looks like Joel is trying to join per Destiny, and he doesn't have great service. So get that, totally get it. I'm glad, I appreciate, tell him Destiny, we appreciate him trying. Maybe he can try with his phone.
That's what I was just gonna say, the invitation that he received would also have the dial-in information.
The phone, okay, yeah. I'll let him know.
Great. And with that said, before we go any further, actually, I'll go ahead and do this. Let's have public forum happen.
All right. Do you want to start with Peter?
Yes.
All right, Peter, you can go ahead and unmute your microphone.
Hi, Peter.
Hello. I am mostly just here to listen, and I will put something in if you are able to see the chat, I'll put something in chat if I have a comment along the way.
So, Peter, I know it's kind of a minutiae detail, but the instructions we've received is to not utilize the chat features because those aren't being captured, and so it's to do with public record.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll just make one comment that I was going to put in chat for what Cassie just said. We expect to have rain this weekend. And so Shane emailed me yesterday that they're planning to have a public participation painting day for the BIPOC celebration mural this weekend. And it has been postponed until the following Sunday, the 25th of September. So 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, Sunday, September 25th, is at this point scheduled to be a time when people in the public can help with painting the mural at the high school, new mural at the high school.
Thank you, Peter. Anything else?
And then Sandy, you want to go ahead and unmute your microphone. You now can talk.
Hi, Sandy. Oh,
here again, I am here to listen to the updates to the MAP project. So no conversation planned.
All right. It's good to see you, Sandy. Okay. Then let's move into liaison reports. And I think before we have our reports, I just want to once again make sure that Ken feels welcome and knows who everyone is. And so I just really would like us all to introduce ourselves, and because I think that's important as we keep morphing and changing. Ken, you already know me. We've talked. We've been in person. So I will say this for the public. I'm Jennifer Longshore, the chair of PAC. I also teach at SOU in the field of visual culture and art history. And I'm going to take us around on my screen and call you by name. Cassie, would you like to go next?
Hi, I'm Cassie Preskenis, and I have been active in the dance community here in Ashland for 30 years. Own a dance studio and a dance school. And I'm one of the, I guess, before you, I was the newest member to the Public Arts Commission, and it's very nice to see your face here. I look forward to meeting Joel as well, if he's listening in. So welcome.
Thank you.
Stanley.
Hi, Ken. I'm Stanley Smith. I've been on the Arts Commission. This is my second term, so I guess I'm going on 3 years. I own a company in Ashland called Art Authority. We make prints for museums all over the world. My background is in museums. I was at the Getty Museum in LA for almost 15 years. And welcome to the commission.
Thank you so much.
Destiny.
Yeah, I am Destiny Young. I've been on for several months now. I want to say maybe half a year. Newer to Ashland and have a background in media arts as well as doing some public murals. So really excited to be a part of this crew here and welcome. Happy to have you.
Thank you so much.
Ben, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been here in Ashland with Carol for 23 years, retired in 98 after 10 years selling real estate and managing an office. And prior to that, 25 plus years in human resources. Have had a fascination with public art probably since my 20s when I traveled in Europe. Love public art. Am excited about being on the commission and hope to learn a lot and contribute a lot.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for all for the nice welcome.
Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
I can exhale.
As Stephen and Aaron, as you yourselves or give your reports, that's when you can introduce yourself. So why don't we start with Councilman Jensen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, Ken. Glad to see you here. Everybody else. I've lived in Ashland for, I was adding up the, 50 years, 49 actually. I've had lots of changes coming and going and so on. And I am delighted to be on the Public Arts Commission. I think it's one of the more vital, active commissions that we have. And we've done good work and we've got some good work to come. So let's talk about city council briefly. So we have new city manager on board as of about a month ago. He's an interim city manager, of course. We have an interim finance director. We lost Elizabeth Taylor, who was administrative manager, which was a big loss for the city because she was a real direct link to Gary, the interim city manager, necessary connections with how the city is run. So there's some challenges in the city manager's office at this point, but we are pushing ahead with some of the vital issues, the chief among them being the budget. And I know that I have in the past, when I haven't been directly involved in these matters, when somebody starts mentioning budget, I had a tendency to kind of glaze over and not pay too much attention to it, as many folks do. But it really is it is really absolutely necessary, and it's an understanding of it. And the decisions we make have short-term and long-term implications. The most immediate piece before us here, and you've heard me talk about this, I'm going to try to distill this down to its most basic elements, is the general fund. The general fund contains funding for police, fire, planning, central services, and parks. Everything else in the city is contained, and the operations are contained in other funds that they call enterprise funds. Never the twain shall meet. Electric cannot help out the general fund. Ashland Fiber Network cannot move some money over to the general fund. So the general fund stands on its own. General fund is primarily funded by property taxes, food and bev, and to some degree, the motel hotel tax, which we call the TOT, transient occupancy tax. So when I refer to TOT, that's what that means. So the long and short of it is, without getting down in the weeds, is there is not enough money in the general fund to fund the things that are in the general fund. And I'm not talking about just a couple of $100,000 short. We are several million dollars short. And this is developed over a period of time. It is not a bloated city government. It is not overpaid staff. It is not gross inefficiencies. It is not financial chicanery on the part of the finance department. It is a steady erosion of the revenue as opposed to the costs. The chief costs being PERS, health insurance, regular insurance. Those are the drivers. They are going up faster than the property taxes and the food and bev and the TOT tax are going. And it's kind of been this steady erosion like this. It's been growing further and further and further apart. And the rubber is going to hit the road in the next biennium. We've got enough money to get through the next 2 years, barely. It's not great, but barely. And but there's some decisions that are going to have to be made. It's a rhinoceros in the room, and there's no more cuts to be had. The idea of, and I'm just going to editorialize a little bit here, the idea that there are cuts to be made to the general fund, to whether it be parks or police or fire or planning, that there are the significant kinds of cuts that can be made that will fix the shortfall. That is not, in my opinion, and it's supported by the numbers, that is not true. Now, we can make cuts. We could cut fire. We could cut police. We could cut parks. But it's not going to be the town that we are used to, that we grew up in, that we have come to expect. It will not be the same town. The fabric of this town will be different if we make the kinds of cuts in the general fund without revenue, an increase in revenue. And that's kind of the, I made the analogy at a meeting here a couple of weeks ago. It's the rhinoceros in the room is the fact that there's gonna have to be, if we want the town to stay somewhat the same as we have come to expect, there's gonna have to be some sort of revenue increase, whether that be an operating levy, whether that be some other form of a tax increase or some kind of funding stream that is necessary. So that's what we're confronting in city council right now, and I think we're slowly getting past the point of rearranging the deck chairs and realizing that, but it takes a while to get there. And one of the things we're going to do, and you're going to see this, we're going to do a massive community outreach effort on seeing what this town as a whole wants to see their town become. And if there is support for keeping the services and the level of excellence that we've come to expect in this town. SOU is going to be employed. They have a very reliable scientific polling wing where they can, they're gonna reach out to the townspeople as a whole with a questionnaire about what people are willing to support, what they value, what they don't value. And then we would, you know, to try to move forward from there. So it sounds clunky. It is to a degree clunky, as anybody that's been on public art realizes. Things take time. Things move slow. The only exception in my perspective in the last bit is how quickly the Ashton High School mural went through this body, and that's to be applauded. But that is the exception for sure. So anyway, that's kind of the general outline. It's a process. Stay tuned for the reports on that. The other thing that is really important right now is recruitment. We need to get a city manager on board, a permanent city manager on board. We need to get a permanent finance director on board. We need some staff in the city hall that we don't have right now. And so that's the big effort that Gary Milliman, our interim city manager, is spearheading. And we hope to make some progress on that in these times It's a heavy lift to get a good city manager on board in the city of Ashland. It's a heavy lift to get a good city manager anywhere. It's a heavier lift, as you well know, in this town to get a good city manager on board. And that's going to be one of our efforts, significant efforts in times to come. So anyway, that's pretty much the big hitter points. I could take some questions if Jennifer, if that's appropriate. We don't want to get too much down in the weeds. We got other things to attend to, but I could possibly answer a question or two if it's appropriate.
Yes, Cassie.
I was just wondering, Steve, if the thought is that we are having less tourism because of the pandemic and because of fires and all of that as it relates to the budget dwindling, or has this been happening for a lot longer?
It's been happening for a lot longer. We're seeing an erosion that probably started back in 2011, as far as that disparity. You know, it's just, you know, property taxes grow, but the costs are growing even greater. And it, even though, you know, it kind of moves like this, and it gets further and further apart. For sure, the pandemic, hit us hard the last couple of years, particularly relative to TOT. And food and bev. Now, food and bev is coming back reasonably. The projections are that it's going to become a significant part of funding for parks, but it's still somewhat questionable. The pandemic and the smoke, you know, the smoke has, definitely has an impact. And we'll just have to see how that plays out. But that's a good question. And it's a thing that we're all kind of sitting on the edge of our seats about, that, the projections based upon the TOT and the food and bev may not come to fruition. And that's going to further muddy the water and contribute to the drive for a new revenue source of some sort, if we want to keep the town like it is.
Thank you.
Stanley.
Question, Stephen. You said that the primary reason that costs are going up is because of health insurance, and I think you said PERS. Is that the city right. pension plan?
Right. Public Employment Retirement System.
Yeah. So private sectors are largely, you know, shifting a lot of the cost of health insurance to their employees. I think the public sector really doesn't do that. Has there been any discussions, or is there any possibility for that kind of solution to reduce costs?
Well, there certainly has. In fact, and Aaron could probably speak to this. A couple of unions have foregone the COLA. The cost of living allowance temporarily. And there has been a shift in the employee contribution to the healthcare. And I believe it's down to a 90-10 now. It was a 95-5, and I think it's down to a 90-10 now. So there's definitely a move in that direction. The problem with that is that at some point you're going to start losing people, because other jurisdictions offer a better, for lack of a better word, I'll say deal, or, you know, a better benefit package. And we've got to be careful of that too, because Medford has already snatched away some of our good police and fire, and simply because of that. And so, we can only trim so much, Stanley, and then we start and then we start losing municipal workers, and they're hard to come by. You know, you see, it's particularly the more skilled fire and police. The fire's having trouble recruiting now. Police definitely having trouble recruiting to fill positions. So, but you know, there's definitely a movement towards that, but it can't be a big. It can't be a big machete at this point. It's got to be, you know, somewhat incremental, and it really has to take into account the entire benefit package and employment package and salary package. But there's everything's on the table at this point. So there definitely have been some conversations about that.
Any other questions? I do have one question, Steve, and that is, in what way would this potentially impact Public Arts Commission? How should we be thinking of it? I know that our funding is mainly through the TOT, but we also depend a lot on the parks and other entities when we're installing. And then, like you're saying, if you're going to have a general public call or survey, and I was just wondering, what should we do expect through this time?
One of the things I think that public art can count on, and it was affirmed a very short time ago during the budget cycle, actually just a little prior to the budget, was the continued commitment of the same amount of the TOT to public art. So we can definitely count on that. It would be quite an earthquake to change that at this point. And I don't think there's the will in the council, you know, to do that. It's a great question that dovetails into the idea that if parks is dramatically cut back, if we essentially, and I'm going to go ahead and use this word, if we essentially defund parks or underfund parks in a significant way, people don't realize in this town the tentacles with which parks reaches into our community in many ways. And just like you said, just the cooperation of parks in public art installations and upkeep. And then I'm going to just chat, you know, between the senior center and the pool and the North Mountain Nature Park and the soccer fields, the Garfield Water Park, our Crown Jewel Lithia Park. There are so many areas in this community that parks reaches into that I really hope people come to a realization of that. And it's way more than a matter of emptying the overflowing trash in Lithia Park and cutting the grass. There's way more to it than that as far as trail management. The mountain bike folks really want us to get going on the pump track to enhance that part of the economy and the outreach for citizens and so on. But when we underfund or defund parks, which I hope doesn't happen, I'm going to do everything I can to have that not happen. It dramatically affects the character and fabric of this town. And I really hope people come to realize that. And we've seen a fair amount of traffic come to city council over the last couple of weeks where people are really starting to wake up to that. And people are really offering up ideas and support for how to continue parks in the robust, lovely aspect of this town that it offers.
Thanks.
It'll be really interesting to see how much the general public values parks. Have there been surveys in the past that have asked that question? I mean, I think we all assume that they're really important, but I'm not sure we should be making that assumption.
Well, that's exactly right. And particularly, and the thing we're trying to get away from is to stack up police and fire against parks. To me, that's a false equivalent. Yeah. People, of course, are going to pick up, are going to say, if it comes to that, that police and fire will always win out. And it's obvious. It's a public safety issue. But it's such an essential part of this town that to pit one against the other, and that's why we need a different revenue stream where the two aren't competing with each other. And hopefully the citizens can step forward. And it's up to city council, and it's up to staff, and it's up to park advocates to clearly put forth the case to citizenry. If we get down in the weeds too much, and we try to continue to rearrange the deck chairs and so on and so on, it's going to be confusing for people. And people don't like confusion. They like clarity. And it can be presented with clarity, But it's going to take an effort, and it's going to take a unified effort. And I think we can do it. But it's coming to a mailbox and your email box near you very soon. You're going to get the opportunity. And we hope that the forces of progress and continuity will win out. And with your all support, I think it will.
I have a question, Steve. If we need to go down this path, obviously we do, is the appetite to shrink the whole proportionally of the city government and costs, or do you think that there will be this pitting and individual departments will take the lead and therefore put us out of balance, if that's the right description?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not sure how that is going to play out. One of the problems we have is we have an interim city manager who is just trying to keep the lights on and the water clean and the toilets flushed at this point. And for us to tackle some of those bigger issues, there's an immediacy to it. There's certainly a sense of urgency about it, but I don't know if we can expect the interim city manager to really wrestle with those kinds of things. And he's short-staffed anyway, particularly with Elizabeth gone, whether we can expect much in the way of really grappling with those kinds of big issues. But I think we're looking at a rearrangement. I think we're looking at a rearrangement of city government in a way that we haven't seen for a long time. And, it goes back to the charter 1911, when the women got together and first set up the Ashton Parks and Rec it's unusual. It's unique in the state of Oregon. It's unique in any city to have a separate elected park board and how we wrestle with that and their responsibilities and the city council getting out of its lane by telling parks how to run when the charter very clearly says parks runs parks or the Parks Commission runs parks and so on. So there's that whole interaction. There's the spirit of the law, the spirit of the charter, and there's the letter of the charter. And those kinds of interpretations going forward are going to be really, really important as we wrestle with this. So it's a good question. So I've taken up way too much time here. So Jennifer, I'm going to pitch it back to you and we can get on with our good work here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I think that anyone here who's really wants to dig in and help out, I encourage you to go to council meetings and be a part of this discussion. Thank you. Aaron, I know you always have a few things to report when we come to them lower in this time, but what might you want to say right now?
Yeah. So spoiler alert, there's not a lot of updates on the other projects further down. I know Sandy's here to hear about map updates. 4 weeks ago, Masterworks was 6 to 8 weeks out. They should be 2 to 4 from shipping now. I made contact with Jennifer, but haven't heard back from her. So there's that. Ken, at the beginning of the meeting, wanted to know about advisory commissions and what changes are afoot. And I might be looking to Steve for a little bit of explanation here, because I know this was discussed in council a couple, 3-4 meetings ago. And the issues that are at play is that the only reason we're able to continue meeting virtually is that there's an emergency order in effect. And that was one of the reasons that it continued to be extended. I think it was a slightly amended emergency order, but we need to remain under an emergency order to continue allowing Zoom meetings until such time as the municipal code can be amended. And I don't know where admin is in trying to address that. But one of the things that I know that was discussed at that meeting was a desire for there to be continuity across advisory commissions. They didn't want each advisory commission making up their own thing. And so my understanding, and Steve, please tell me if I'm wrong, was that the intent was to craft a uniform policy that would then be promulgated. Is that correct? Okay. So that's the best answer I have for you, Ken, on that question. And obviously, for now, I continue to be working from home. So does most of the staff. And obviously, this is just the world that we continue to live in for right now. And with that, I'll take any questions that you might have, and we can address other items later down the agenda.
Thank you, Aaron. Any questions for Aaron that y'all might have? And with having Ken here, but also Destiny and Cassie, I do want to make sure everyone's getting their binders with the information. So maybe you can share that information just in case some people here haven't gotten the binder.
Yeah. So my understanding is that Cassie and Destiny, you've both gotten yours, right? Okay, good. My understanding is that Laura hasn't picked hers up yet, but it is at front counter waiting for her to pick up, and she's just hasn't gotten around to it. I'm working with front office to get the two new binders for Ken and Joel put together. I believe Dana was going to try to work on that today. It's reasonable to assume that'll be completed sometime next week, and I'll reach out to both Ken and Joel at that time, and you can pick them up at the Winburn Way building. The buildings continue to be closed to the public, but we'll make an arrangement for you to call ahead, and they'll open the door for you to hand it out to you.
Great. Any other questions? I do have one other question, Aaron, actually. Mm-hmm. And this really kind of is to all of these counselors. Also, I wish Joel was here. The only person who has been here a long time, Stanley, thank you for being our historical memory. We all have never really had an orientation, and Ken asked if there was such a thing. I've never been through an orientation, and I don't know if it's necessary or what we all would like, or do you feel like you need one? But I thought I would ask Aaron to give us.
So in the time that I've been here, shortly after I came on board and became a staff liaison, this is one of the roles that Dave Lohman handled as city attorney. And so typically there is a annual reappointment, and then sometime following that, Dave Lohman would get all of the newly appointed commissioners and any other commissioners who wanted to attend in the Siskiyou room and basically give a brief lecture on public meeting laws, ethics, etc. Obviously, Dave Lohman is no longer with us. The legal department is obviously one of the departments that continues to be understaffed. I haven't been given any information about when they may continue to do those types of things. I will run that up the flagpole and see if I can get an answer. That said, there's a link that I believe you shared, Jennifer, to the advisory handbook online, right? And that has all of those handouts that Dave Lohman would typically go over in that orientation session. So, but I will ask if there are any plans to do that going forward.
And let me correct, that's something I sent to Ken, but Cassie and Destiny, maybe you haven't seen that link. It's sort of in your binder, but it's essentially the general city/state rules. And I'm happy to forward that link to you as well if you'd like it. The other thing I noticed in my histories of emails is that last January there was an invitation to go to what appeared to me to be a yearly orientation. And I can forward that to you, Aaron. I don't think I was able to go, but that might be what you're talking about. Maybe January is the magic month where there's a commissioner orientation, and maybe it would be through Zoom, something for us to look forward to if we want to attend.
Yeah, I honestly don't know right now with Dave Lohman's departure, but if you want to forward me that, I'll take a look at it for sure.
I have a request, and that is, Jennifer, could you resend that to me since my computer died last week? I'm now rebuilding everything.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Dave has a question or a comment.
Yes.
So, I'm going to, Aaron, I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to reach out to Katrina Brown. And you're exactly correct. All departments are understaffed right now. Unfortunately, orientation of new commissioners kind of falls down the list a little bit in terms of urgency. But let me check with Katrina and Jennifer and Aaron, and I will get back with you. I'm just going to pose a general question to her. If she has a orientation scheduled going forward at some point, because there's a fair amount of new commission appointments now that we've unclogged the chute on that one in terms of process and so on. So I think it'd be a really good idea to see if that could be done, even if it's done via Zoom. It would certainly be useful, I think, because there's some really important stuff in terms of ethics, open meeting laws, the do's and don'ts, how to keep yourself out of trouble, you know, and so on, that people should know about and really take to heart on the front end of their appointment. That would be really useful. Sometimes if you get a binder, the binder is thick and chewy, and sometimes a personal presentation of some of the more salient points is more effective. So anyway, I'll check with Katrina on that, and I will communicate to you folks what I find out.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks.
Thank you. I see that Jim is not here. I have reached out to Jim with questions and haven't gotten emails back. So I know everyone's being stretched, and I appreciate the Parks and Rec Department greatly. Unless anyone else has an APRC report or knowledge that they wish to share, we'll move on. Okay, so let's move into other business. As Aaron says, much of today is, at least for a few of these, is just really kind of, we're still in a sitting and waiting. So with other business, I have the Say Their Names Coalition, and there's no new news. I have offered to speak to their selection panel to explain the role a panel would, how a panel within the way we run panels would operate when selecting and thinking about art. And so that's coming in the pipeline, but they're still working on creating that panel and creating the works for that panel to look at. So no news there. And unless anyone has any other offerings or additions to that news, Cassie?
I spoke to Jessica Friedman, and I guess that the two finalist artists went through the parks, through the proposed places that the Parks Department recommended to the artists for their sculptures to go. And so I think that there was a waiting on the selection committee so that the artists could propose the specific location now that they have information from the Parks Department. So I just thought I would drop that in. I guess that happened last week.
Okay.
You know those locations? Is that?
I do. I don't know if it's appropriate to share them, but I do know that one is in Lithia Park. Actually, I believe there might be two in Lithia Park. There's one in the park that my kids still call the new park. It's the one on Hersey Street. And I'm sorry, I don't know the official name of that park. The one that goes right along Ashland Creek across from the Christian Fellowship. And then
it's called Ashland Creek Park.
Thank you. Yes. To us, it's still new. And then there's one at the railroad district, and it's not along the fence. It's actually next to the basketball court in that grassy area. That's if you're facing the railroad park on the left-hand side, towards the hardware store part of town. So I believe those were the four locations that the Parks Department.
Where in Lithia Park? I was under the assumption, maybe erroneously, that artwork just couldn't go in Lithia Park.
And I wasn't part, I don't know how the Parks Department came to these suggestions, but one is in the front lawn of Lithia Park across from what used to be Sesame, what's now, yeah. And then I believe there was one that was higher up in the park, and I'm not sure of the exact spot there. So the two artists might be coming up with two totally different locations that they would propose with their submission.
Do you have a sense of timing, Cassie, how that's going to be achieved?
We're in September. I think that there was a hope to go to figure out the selection committee in October and give those folks at least 2 weeks to meet. So have at least a couple times when they have an opportunity to meet. And I think that Jessica's also been in communication with Jennifer Corio on getting some advice about selection committee and how people might make those selections. Jennifer Corio has been really very available to Jessica Friedman. So that's been a wonderful connection.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. So yes, we wait. I haven't in the last few weeks, I did scour the parks trying to get some information based off of the web and couldn't. So you know more than me, and that's great. And I'm just waiting for their like official documents online to show up. Other comments before we move forward? All right. The next things to discuss, one is the hub artwork, which once again, we're kind of in waiting patterns, but there's a few things to announce or discuss together as a group. So Jennifer Corio has been communicating with me, perhaps Erin, I can't remember who's been included in emails. She is having great meetings with her structural engineer and working on the beginning phases of the sculpture, but also finishing up the language issues, the issues with what type of characters within the Chinese language to put onto the sculpture. She has met with Chinese language linguists, as well as Maywin Richards, who is a local community member here in the Chinese Association. And she has sent me pictures of them all meeting together in Portland, which is fun. So a really delightful extension of our local community in Portland with Jennifer Corio. And she promises to have the finished product for us to look over and give approval of in the future, I'm hoping soon. With that said, the other thing I thought was important for us to consider is a plaque. Because once this comes into place, I always feel like it's important to have the plaque at the ready. And I don't know how all you feel, but I did send Erin some questions. And Erin, so the questions I asked Erin were, is there a plan for a plaque? Because I haven't been here very long to ask that. Should we be planning this? Do we fund this or is there a budget for it? And so the answers Erin gave me. Erin, would you like to tell us the plan that you had, the historical memory of the plan for a plaque? You also gave me some information related to the budget. And I'll let you answer those questions because you answered them for me.
So I don't recall exactly what I put into that email. So you're going to have to keep me honest here. There were discussions about a plaque, but it never finalized. The understanding with the city was that, you know, the monies that were allocated were going to cover the sculpture, and that basically we didn't need to worry too much about lighting and landscape because Adam was going to make sure that came out of the right buckets. Going forward, some of that figuring of where those monies are going to come from may be a new adventure in accounting, considering the loss of that institutional memory. Including questions like how much funds are available to PAC. So does that sort of align with what I put in that email to you?
Yeah. So what we have is we have sort of a, or an old school word, a gentleman's agreement. What seems to me like, yes, we will take care of this, but we don't, but we need to make sure it's official or work with the proper entities to make sure we can get a plaque installed and pay for a plaque. And I just wanted to make sure we were aware of that. I also know that I sent a few pictures of the threshold to you, Erin, for you to share for everyone. And let's just take a look at that real quick.
Sure.
And then Steve, I'll take your question. But I'm actually quite a minimalist. I think less is best, but you all might not agree. So I think we also need to have a discussion on what type of plaque we want there. And when I say plaque, that's different from, say, something informational. So to me, like just acknowledging this artist with a title and a date, what it's commemorating. And the Erin then said, well, threshold is very nice. It's on this large stone. And so I went and took pictures for you all to see. So I thought we'd start there and then you all could perhaps chime in on, we can have more discussions, but we really should make this important for us. By the way, I also noticed, and if anyone has shears, cause I, once again, we're a difficult city, but can't even see the plaque at threshold right now, which made me sad. It took me a while because of the pictures. But you see it's on a stone there. You see it's on a very large rock. You also see that it's really basic. So I find that probably classy, and I'm happy to take your comments. So I wanted to just put that forth. And Steve, you had something to say.
Thank you, Jennifer. So you answered most of the questions. I wasn't quite sure what the plaque was about, but I like the minimalist idea. As far as, I'm just going to make a general comment, suggestion on funding. I think it would behoove the Public Arts Commission to not reach out at this point for anything extra from some other bucket. I think public art has some funding. I think we try to make do with what we've got. I can't imagine those plaques being all that particularly expensive. I think public art needs to, just in the next few months, lay low in the tall grass when it comes for asking for anything at this point. We have our funding. I think we should be happy with our funding at this point. And I think a quiet work at this point, I think, would be a judicious position on the part of public art. I really liked Aaron's term, and I can't remember exactly what you said about the new finance atmosphere. And what did you said something that was really almost humorous about, help me out here.
I'm not sure what I said. I'll have to go back to the tape for the exact words. Are you referring to the institutional knowledge or, oh, there was, I know what, I don't recall exactly what I said. I have to go back to the tape. Sorry.
Good. So I think with this conversation, my goal is perhaps we purchase, create, make a plaque. And my goal is to have that plaque ready for when they're installing the artwork, the parks and city will happily install it at the same time. You know what I mean? Rather than it being a different entity and then we have to burden parks or whoever installs this work. Does that make sense? That's what my brain is thinking. Let's have all of our ducks in a row for the installation time. So I open it up for other comments. Stanley.
Do we know what the threshold plaque costs? Do we have any memory of that? Or?
So I don't specifically to that one. With my work with the Tree Commission in reviewing small plaques for Tree of the Year, my recollection is that generally for a plaque of this size, which I would say is about 8 inches by a foot, I would expect that to be a $500 to $600 project. The Tree of the Year plaques were generally probably half that size and would cost in the $200 to $300 range. The Tree Commission hasn't been doing plaques for Tree of the Year for some time because the tiny budget that the Tree Commission once had got tinier. So
I think we could live with a smaller plaque. So if it's $200 or $300, you know, I don't see why, you know, PAC wouldn't just pay for it.
Well, how about if we get a quote on something of that size, Aaron, if you have any way of knowing, because I think that might be your estimate is a little bigger than perhaps what it is.
Sure.
As far as that. And I think it's a reasonable size, a simple plaque. It might cost, I'd say, I'm guessing, rather than three, maybe five, 4 to 5. And maybe we need to bring back that and see if you're all willing to spend that much money. And if you don't, then we'll make it smaller, as you suggest, Stanley. Other thoughts?
Yes, I have a sort of a question thought. It would seem to me that with this plaque, first one on the hub, we're starting. We need to be consistent going forward.
Yeah.
So whatever we do needs to be able to, address the needs of the public, but also look like we have a plan.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think also keeping it minimal so that it would
fit others.
Right. It's not so intrusive. I also want to respect the artwork that it's around. And that's why I kind of like its natural setting with on a stone. That might fit really nicely around this new work that Jennifer's creating.
As far as I'm sorry.
No, I just was going to say, I have another question, which is not in keeping with Steve's lie low. Presumably the 25 or so existing pieces of public art have plaques or something. And do we have to go back and redo those?
So I was just going to speak to your point about continuity. I think that if you go and you look at other pieces of art around town, you will see that some have plaques, some don't. And as far as continuity, that ship has sailed a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So creativity, not continuity.
Correct. Cassie.
Along that same line of continuity, I like the idea of the hub sculptures because they're part of a series, having a similar plaque, as you said, and even naming potentially on the plaque. I know I like the simple idea as well, but hub sculpture, you know, and what it's representing. I feel like as a Ashland resident would make me more intrigued and more have more of a relationship with the art if I knew that this was commemorating the workers from the Chinese workers who built the railroad. So.
Right. Thank you. Right. So why don't we get the quote on what this simple plaque is? There might be perhaps informative or informational side plaques or historical markers that Historical Society can help us provide. But what I want to do is just make sure we are acknowledging the work, just in case that's all that happens. As Steve is saying, we're in a big change and I want to put respect on this artwork. So that is something for next month for us to hopefully have a decision and get it going. That's my decision. If you all don't like the idea of what I just showed you as far as the simplicity of this sort of brass on the stone, let me know.
Yeah. Can we explore not doing a cast bronze? You know, that whole cast bronze plaque is really, really old school. You know, I think there's probably less expensive ways to sort of etch a piece of steel or aluminum. You know, there's lots of other options if we want to consider that. I mean, this is the first hub sculpture. And if we want to have continuity, you know, this is the one that's going to be repeated down the road. So,
and Stanley, then that is not my field of expertise is knowing these ways. So I look to you or perhaps Aaron when you research the person who made that last one. Maybe they can show us some other design options. So I guess that's more conversation.
I can take that on.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to get, you know, a quote for this. That's, you know, not a lot of time out of my day. But as far as a project of bringing back to the commission multiple other types, it's a little more of a research, and I appreciate Stanley being willing to do that.
Right. And just kind of curiosity, Aaron, whoever did make that last plaque, if you know who that is, great. I would like to know who is, and I think forwarding that person to Stanley, I'm not sure if that person is someone who only works in bronze, but they might work in a variety of metals. And so just sticking with that same person, I hear from what you said, they might be more affordable than other options. And so if you could forward that to us, that'd be great.
If I can find backup data on that, I certainly will.
Thank you. Any other thoughts? Okay, so that's where we are with the hub artwork. As far as the AHS mural, sounds like Peter gave us an update. Cassie, you might have more to add. I just want to say I've been going by the high school and watching it come up. It's been so fun to look at, and I hope you all are doing that. And if not, I encourage you to go by the high school. I was planning on going on Sunday. Sounds like we're pushing it to the following Sunday. Actually, I'm not going in the form of a work party. I want to remind you all that if we all go at the same time, it's considered quorum, and I don't think we're allowed to do that. So I'm more of just going to stop in and look. If someone here wants to be on the work party, that's great. But I think it's terrific. I'm excited. And it sounds like it's on task. It's on track to actually have its November celebration, if you are aware of that. I'm assuming that will be happening in November, and I'll keep you posted. Anya's been really good about about sending emails to me, and I believe all of you, so you can all keep track on the progress. Any other comments about the AHS mural at this point? Check it out if you have.
Procedural question. So if we all go to a ceremony to welcome it, are we a quorum?
Yeah, so and that would be something that we would notice as a public meeting before it happening. This is always sort of a little bit tricky because what if, you know, all of the PAC commissioners wanted to go to the same movie? Is that technically creating a quorum? I'm not an attorney, and so I always, you know, shy to being conservative. The fact of the matter is, if you were to all accidentally bump into each other at a supermarket, that's not a problem until you start talking about public art. So, you know, it's one of those things where you have to be cautious.
Right. All right. So when it's all finalized and there is an official opening, I would hope we would all attend, and I have no problem making that a public meeting. And great question, because these are the types of things that are sticky, and this is why an orientation is great. Thanks for asking, Ken. Any other questions about those two subjects?
Is there a place to get a timeline for the project, overall timeline? As a new person, I'm looking to see, okay, what's in the budget that's left, how much has been paid, what are the, et cetera. I hear it verbally, but I don't know where to get a document.
Well, as far as like budget related to the AHS mural, that's sort of not in our league, or we're not dealing with it. But they did, at our last meeting, we asked the planners of this to send us an email giving us a timeline and sharing what their plans. Sure. You were not here. So we'll make sure you're added to that email. I will try and remind Anya to add you.
Thanks.
And also Joel, so that you can see. And I'll forward you what I have. So,
perfect. Thank you.
Other questions, comments? All right. Moving on, also, I think, Aaron, you said that there's not really any report on the masterwork plaques for the hub and the map. Do you have any more comments?
Just that, you know, when I hear back from Jennifer, I'll let you all know if there's any additional updates. And when I have an estimate on shipping, I'll be getting conversations with Public Works about coordinating installations. So that's a little bit in the front for now, and I'll let you know when I know more.
Great. Thank you. Any questions about that? Yes, Steve.
It's not a question. I'm going to respectfully bow out of our meeting right now. Before I go, with your permission, I want to insert this little tiny thing that I just came across. And Aaron, you got this email too from a Linda Kilcollins. And I'm going to read it to you. It's very, very short, but it really points out how we deal. And if we can deal with these in a little more, I feel bad because it's been sitting in my email box for about a week and a half here now. Good morning. We're looking for someone to commission some large mosaic art at the Palm Motel. Think mosaic concrete walks and benches. Any leads you can provide would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Linda Kilcollins, General Manager of Palm Motel and Cottages. So just out of curiosity, what's Public Art's response to something like that?
Well, I'll already tell you that I've responded to the email. But good question. Should we respond as a public art commission? I just so you know, I sent an email back saying that I don't really know many of these types of people. I did do a little research for her and sent her some websites of people, and told her to talk to the Gallery Association. I didn't really put it under our auspices as something that we are in charge of. I just sort of gave her some suggestions on finding someone, and I hope that was appropriate.
Sure. But so my question to the art people, of which I'm not one, that live in this world, the term, we are looking for someone to commission some large mosaic. Stanley, can you, what are they asking for in plain language?
Money.
Yeah, they're looking for an artist that they're going to pay to create these things. And, you know, I don't really know whether the Arts Commission, you know, I mean, if anybody on the Arts Commission knows somebody that they can send them an email contact, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. One question I have, though, is I was under the impression if a private building has a public-facing piece of art, what comes to mind is I think there was a motel that had a Shakespeare drawing, and they got in trouble with the Arts Commission. Am I wrong about that? Sandy, are you still here?
She is, but she wouldn't be able to talk unless we enabled it.
Okay.
Jennifer, do you want me to do that?
I guess you can allow Sandy to answer if she wishes. It's fine with me.
Sandy, you're able to talk now if you'd like to unmute.
What am I wrong about that, Sandy? That private companies that have public-facing art need to get approval from the Arts Commission? Am I wrong?
No, you're correct.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't visible from a right-of-way, it wouldn't be regulated. So it really depends on the location.
Right.
And, you know, so the school district is an outlier to that, even though they've gone through the process with the current mural, which is great. But as you said, private entities really do need to come to the commission to seek approval of the design and the process and so forth. So while I have a chance to talk to you, I'm sending you off an email with answers to the plaque question. So I'll just tell you that the plaque for Threshold was done by the cemetery workers, the city cemetery workers. It was considerably less than $500. The staff person before Erin kind of approved it on her own. It would not have been a choice that the commission made. And if you check the current strategic plan, I'm not sure how closely you're looking at that, but I think it's goal 2, strategy 4, and I only know this because I just finished the email, talks about designing some standards, bringing in a sign designer and designing standards for plaques or signage for public artworks. And I think we were thinking of, you know, a variety of types of artworks, some contemporary, some more traditional, so that there is a coordinated look across, you know, all the city plaques related to artwork. So I encourage you to consider that option.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sandy. Steve.
I'm good. Thank you for allowing me to insert that piece about the mosaic, but it's instructive.
Yeah.
For us.
So I'm not really sure what our position should be. I mean, is this the artwork that they're proposing public facing or not? Do we know?
No.
Okay, well. So I guess that if we get a request like that, that is kind of the first question. Is this going to be public facing? Because right. At that point, the Arts Commission needs to be involved, or we need to let them know that there is a process. If it's not public facing and you know an artist who does that kind of thing, I see no problem with saying, call these people, you know.
I guess that I'll reveal to you that there's new owners of the hotel that's being talked about here. And the owners actually sent me an email earlier asking about applying a mural to the outside wall, of which I sent them an email back showing them the mural ways, the mural process, and saying, I look forward to seeing you coming to the commission. Okay. Now we have this other person at the same hotel asking about mosaics, not being clear on where those would be. So you're right. I think that anyone who's applying something to the outside of a building needs to come through the commission. Yes. Did the second email not specifically tell us? No. Do we have many murals all around town right now that are illegally placed per our instructions? Yes. So we know the process. Are they going to come to us? We often have people ask us, why is that mural on that fence? And from what I understand, it's somewhat of a citizen report that could cause a dispute or cause it to become removed. So just wanted you to know that. This is there's a few people in this dialogue, and the owners of that structure do have the mural process in their email hands. Cassie.
This is actually a topic that Peter and I had a discussion about when we met. It was about the how beautiful a lot of these fences are that are on private land that haven't gone through the commission process. And if there is a way to potentially make those privately owned fences somehow more accessible, easier, or more friendly, you know, a user-friendly kind of process. So that, and I don't know if there is one, but that is just an interesting consideration at some point down the road, potentially, for us to discuss, because it certainly has added a lot of color and brightness and cheeriness to, in my opinion, to some of the neighborhoods in town. And I know that part of the sticky wicket there is that then those private fences become publicly owned fences. And then the maintenance and all of that is a bit of an unknown area. But that just is one of the ways that, you know, neighborhoods could become involved in public art, and, you know, art is encouraged in town. So anyway, that's been something I've been percolating over a little bit, and I wasn't sure that I was going to bring that up today, but since it came up, I have been wondering about if there's a way that we could make that sort of a, more of an invitation to the community to create those beautiful murals, and then maybe sort of also cut off before it starts the potential for there to become an issue with some of those murals that could be more controversial. But I mean, we haven't seen that yet. But like you said, if there was something that went up that someone said, I don't like this, or it's offensive, then all of the people who have put them up that are beautiful might end up having to take them down. So anyway, all those thoughts, nothing necessarily to address today, but.
In that connection, maybe we could do some kind of a grandfathering to bring those people into the fold and start herding cats. It's probably a Sisyphean, whatever that word is, Sisyphean process with the stone up and down.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough issue sometimes. I mean, where does graffiti stop and artwork begin?
Yep.
You know, it's if you go to New York City, there's, or LA even, there's just unbelievably cool graffiti walls that really should be preserved, and they're often painted over by somebody else, and they're dynamic. You know, the question is, should that be curtailed or should it be encouraged? You know, Say Their Names was spontaneous. No one had a permit for that.
Right.
It's a slippery, it's a bit of a slippery slope. I mean, you start imposing rules and you won't get these fences anymore.
Right.
We probably need some instruction from the lawyers about, hey, you know, what are the issues, and then go from there.
So I love this conversation, and I think we'll continue it, Cassie, when we move into goals and actions. And I think it's important to remember we have a signed ordinance, and we'll talk about it. Steve's gone. Goodbye. So let's see. I think that we're on a path for creating a plaque. Great. That was helpful to hear from Sandy. And I'm more than happy to find a different type of plaque. It's just someone needs to do it. So great. Let's get that coming back next time.
Could I just tag on to that? There is a person, Stanley, that you probably know of, Inger Johansson, does work with bronze and other forms. I think she does also some kind of an acrylic with their modeling. So if you need that contact information, I can give that.
Yeah, if you could send me their contact information, that'd be great.
Thank you. Are we ready to move on? Any other comments? All right, so goals and action items. I might flip these around a little bit. I don't have a lot to report. The power of public art. My Kiwanis Club presentation got canceled due to COVID, but it's postponed and we'll be doing in the future. I'll be speaking to Ollie October 7th. Ken, I am reminded that you might want to attend that. I will look into that for you. As an assistant to me, that would be great. Yes, Aaron.
Just for the minutes, is Ollie O-L-L-I, is that correct? You said October 6th, is that correct?
October 7.
Thank you.
And that's at 3:00. Just in case, Ken. And I will ask about you attending. So I continue to reach out to organizations to present. I think COVID is just really challenging. And so we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We're doing these through Zoom. Kiwanis wasn't through Zoom. That's why they canceled me. And that's perfectly great. I really don't want to go sit in the Elks Lodge in no ventilation. Okay. So with that, I'm going to move on. And I have letter A at the top, but I know that C and D, you might have things you wish to say. Those were kind of our goals and action items, promoting art in Ashland, connecting with community. And I wanted to hear what you and definitely what you and Peter had to talk about, Cassie, so you can give us a little report. Public art list, maybe you have something to add, Stanley, or something's happened, maybe not. So those are two things that
I do.
Okay, great. So if maybe we should talk about those two things and then move into creating a new strategic plan. And I'll tell you why this is important to me, and maybe it's not important to you. But let's hear your reports first. So why don't you go ahead, Cassie, and tell us a little bit about promoting art in Ashland and where you think you are with that.
Okay, great. Well, it was great to talk to Peter and connect with him. I hadn't done that yet. And one of the things that we talked about that really excited me was the idea of putting out to the community and neighborhoods. And I guess Peter had someone who had actually come to him with this idea. That there are some utility boxes that are still sitting there kind of blankly in comparison to all of the other beautified utility boxes. And that there had been neighborhoods or a neighborhood that was interested in gathering together and designing their own and then putting in an application to paint it, and maybe even including the community in the painting and finding an artist that was in the community to guide that painting and potentially even donating funds, you know, as a neighborhood for that to happen. So that could be a way that neighborhoods create their own art that represents the spirit of that neighborhood, kind of like what we've already touched on with the Fordyce neighborhood and those beautiful fences. So I thought that was a really fun idea, another way of expanding the public art out into the community and maybe putting that out as a blast that, you know, we're opening that up for people to come and put in applications for what they might want to do, and that there might be a way for us to make that pretty accessible to folks. So that was one. And Jennifer, I would love to hear, because I know you were on the commission when that initially was one of the first projects that happened through the Public Arts Commission. So maybe we could talk also outside of the meeting and I could hear more about how that went and what that process was like. So that was one piece that felt very exciting. And then another piece that Peter had learned from talking to Jared Davison, who I guess is the chair of the Medford Public Arts Commission, was that they have a seat on the commission that has a specific service period, and I think it was maybe a year, for a high school student. And so a high school student will apply to join the commission for a one-year period. And that way the students are thinking about the Public Arts Commission, involved in what's happening in public art. And I thought that was also a really interesting and cool idea to have a young voice on the Public Arts Commission and have them going back then to their peers and bringing in, you know, this voice of I here's what I'm doing in our community and here's what we're doing on the Public Arts Commission. So those were the fences and the utility boxes and the student to me were the three of the more exciting things that Peter and I talked about. We also talked about, you know, giving tours of the existing, as we've discussed before, public arts pieces and the upcoming celebrations that we get to have and look forward to with the Hub sculpture and the Say Their Names and the BIPOC celebration mural. So anyway, I guess I'm just putting that out there to you. Maybe Jennifer, we could talk about the utility boxes at some point if you're open. So there you have it. Yeah.
Great.
I have a question, and we could do it later if need be. Is there an established procedure for making announcements of the Public Art Commission in the press, either in the Mail Tribune or possibly the TV stations, so that we begin to build a tracking in the public mind?
An article, an announcement related to what do you mean? Can you elaborate?
When we're going to have the mural presentation, when we're going to have the opening of the Railroad Park sculpture, when we're going to do an invitation for fencing outreach defenses, etc. I mean, any of those things where we want the public to be engaged or know about, it's kind of a PR function for the commission, I guess.
Aaron.
Well, I would just say, you know, from a city standpoint, when we've promoted things like a call for artists in the past, we put it on the city's webpage. And then through admin, we also put it out through the city's social media feeds, which are Facebook and Twitter. As far as a process that you were asking about, a formal process to do press releases, there is no such process established. That said, Peter Finkel has been publishing a lot of articles in local papers. And what was the most recent one? I'm trying to recall. It was regarding one of the art pieces. And so he has done a lot privately to be promoting PAC's interests. But as far as a procedure, as me as staff liaison to be issuing press releases, beyond the city website and social media, there really isn't one.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Peter has been celebrating us and really a champion recently that I see in our newspaper, on his Walk Ashland website. I mean, prolific. Thank you, Peter. And so that's helpful. Yes. What is our role? I'm kind of curious, Aaron. Can you bring up a good question? I'm not going to do it, but do other commissions have a Facebook page? Should that be something to consider that someone would have to take on, which is not going to be me? is that something that's happening?
I don't know of any advisory commissions that have their own Facebook page. I know the Parks Commission, which is its own elected body, has its own Facebook page. Whether we're even allowed to, I would need to consult the city's social media policy. Do you want me to look into that?
Well, when we get to goals and actions, as far as like strategic plan, if everyone wants that to happen, then maybe we'll have it happen. I'm just throwing it out there. It's interesting. But you say that the city has social media, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
That in what form? On what platform?
I believe Facebook and Twitter are the two where we have accounts. Unfortunately, the woman who was responsible for publishing those, her name was Elizabeth. She's one of the people that recently left. So actually, I'm not sure who at this moment is managing that Facebook presence.
Right. So that's interesting. I never really even thought about following Ashland on Facebook as a citizen of Ashland. But this is a larger thing that what if we, if there was someone who was doing City of Ashland publicity through Facebook and we forwarded them information on occasion, and they posted it, that would be great. And maybe there was more of a blast of join Ashland's Facebook page to see what commissions are doing. I mean, so this could be bigger than just our commission. It could be all commissions. That just popped in my head. Obviously, understaffed and overworked. But it's something interesting that, Ken, you've just brought up that popped in my brain. Stanley.
Can we post on community bulletin boards such as Nextdoor? Is that allowed?
As appointed, I don't see why there would be any issue with that. I mean, you're all sitting commissioners on the Public Art Commission. If you were to make a post on social media, I don't see how that could run afoul of any particular rules.
I mean, as a citizen but what if Stanley's posting something on Nextdoor or whatever it's called, and it's official business? Is that all right?
Let me try to get some direction, because this is outside of my scope.
Yeah, I think it's outside of mine as well.
It seems like it would be quite helpful in promoting particularly events. I know, maybe I shouldn't say this if it's maybe not okay, but I did share on Facebook the Power of Public Art presentation was happening. And I tried to blast that out to try to create a buzz about it. So it does seem like it could be quite a helpful tool.
Yeah, I saw that. And I was also wondering the same thing too, because I think it would be a really good platform for any future events that we do. But it was curious. I was like, I don't know. Technically we can or not, but I saw you did it. So I was like, great, we must be able to.
So that's great. So that is, I'm a very introverted person. So for me on these entities, I'm not really there, though I do look at them. But I'm curious on what we're allowed to do, how, in what ways we should do it. So I'm glad conversation is coming up. Thank you. Any other thoughts about that?
I think it obviously ties in with the charter for promoting public art. So it seems to me that there's some energy and effort in moving forward on this over time is worth the effort.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Stanley, let's move on and ask you what's going on with perhaps List platform.
Oh, here you
go. Laura and I met with Peter Finkel a month or so ago, and we tossed a few ideas around. In the meantime, Peter sort of stumbled across this amazing platform. You know, we're laying it on pretty thick here in our adoration of Peter Finkel. I hope his ears aren't burning right now, but he's a great resource for us. He sent me an email for a public website, a nonprofit public website called Public Art Archive, and I can share a link with everybody later. It is a division of Western States Art Federation. It's an organization that's been around since 1974. The Western State Arts Federation is just one of, I think there's five or six regions in the U.S. They're nonprofit. They're funded by the National Endowment for the Arts. They're a very public spirited organization. And they have this public art archive that is kind of exactly what we need now. This wouldn't necessarily replace the online platform we have, which is called, Aaron, remind me, Story Map,
GIS Story Map.
Yeah. You know, that's within the Ashland City umbrella. This would be outside that umbrella, the Public Art Archive. But it's not a commercial operation. I think there is a bit of a charge for it. But it's fantastic because it's under a very large umbrella. And so I think it probably gets a lot more traffic. If people are coming to Ashland, they can easily access this. There's a map that has, you know, all the entries. Peter shared, if I could share my screen for a minute, Aaron.
I believe you can.
Okay. Yeah, this is their page for Hillsboro, Oregon. And you can find that just by searching, or you can pick it out on the map. And this is all the public art that they have. Well, there's more. There's tons of stuff. And you click on any one of these, and is it going to come up? And it'll come up with the exact location, a little bit larger photo, a description, the collection it's in, just sort of tombstone metadata there. I'm not sure whether they have any other links. But anyway, it's just kind of amazing. So, and thank you, Peter, for stumbling across this. You know, I think that this is something that really, let me stop this share, that we should look into. Yeah, Aaron.
Do you know what the cost is offhand?
I don't. I'm going to contact the woman from Hillsboro and the public art archive themselves and find out. I did download the content submission agreement and terms of use. I have those as PDFs that I can forward to you, Aaron, because clearly this needs to be vetted to make sure we can do it. But my hope would be that, you know, even though this is a website outside the city, I would really love to be able to link to this through the city. And I know that's been a problem in the past, but, you know, this is a nonprofit organization. And it seems like a really worthwhile thing to do. So, yeah.
As soon as you can get me an estimated cost, I'm more than happy to run that up the flagpole. But I just want to make sure I have all of the information. It looks like a great potential tool.
Yeah. Is Peter still with us?
Yes. Jennifer, do you want me to allow him to talk?
Yeah, if he has anything to add, that'd be great.
The only thing I would add, Stanley, is that the public art archive, you know, you showed the picture of what the artwork page looks like.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to add two things. One is you can add videos. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have talked about that could be really valuable for helping people appreciate the art more. Would make an interview with an artist perhaps, or a description of how the artwork was made. Any of that can be plugged in through the public art archive. And then the other thing I'll mention, you know, for example, when we were talking earlier about who made the plaque, or maybe just looking at the history, the public art archive also has a back end function that would be available if the Public Arts Commission wanted to use it, that would allow any kind of notes to be kept in one place about every artwork. The, you know, artist information, contracts, all of that history that tends to get lost through not too many years of time could potentially, if, and again, probably that would cost a little extra, but might be worthwhile to think about. So
yeah, that's a little bonus. They apparently have a really robust database and back end that organizations have been using to do exactly what Peter just said. You know whether we would need that or not, I don't know. But
so I have a quick request. Peter, could you send me your contact information? I'd love to meet with your
I will. One other observation, I had not heard of the Western, the Western State Art Federation, except I have you, they have another site called CAFE. It's a call for entry. And I've been using that for years, and it's this great resource for artists to be aware of commissions, contests, you know, calls for exhibitions. And it gets updated every week. And if you're an artist, it allows you to go in there and submit things. And it occurred to me, I'm not sure whether we've ever done this in the past, but it would be a great platform when we have the Arts Commission or the has got a commission, it'd be a good place to list that as well. So.
Thank you. That's really, really interesting. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a general question, I suppose. I heard reference to strategic plan. Apparently that's in existence and then it's going to be built again. Could I get a copy of that? And Joel, probably.
Yeah, actually, I think we're going to go into this discussion right
oh,
now.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Okay, so let's just dive in. At the end of last meeting, I felt as though perhaps I was pushing us to do things that are from a strategic plan of the past. And honestly, with the exception of Stanley, we're all extremely young to this commission and new to this commission. And really an important time to hear everyone's voices. I'm really sad Joel's not here, but we will probably have to continue this conversation.
Right.
And I had asked at the last meeting, you know, are you all interested in doing the next hub sculpture or being, you know, getting the map going? And I heard crickets. And so I researched a little bit about the process of this first hub sculpture that's coming up, the Railroad Park. And interestingly, between Aaron and myself, I think we found that the whole process started in 2013-ish.
Yeah.
It's 2021 now, okay? And so first off, finding, correct me, Aaron, if I'm wrong. I'm just giving you a quick backup. The map is this glorious exchange between the Public Arts Commission and the Historic Commission. It took a lot of really passionate people to make it work, who met together, who planned, who had to propose a budget that wasn't approved by the council, all of which those people are gone. So time in our bureaucratic system makes this map project already quite, I'd say antiquated, not antiquated, but the ball needs to keep rolling. But it's a whole new system, and it might need new approvals to a new council. It also needs the people who want to do it. So I guess, long story short, I was like, oh, does everyone here wish to continue to pursue the second phase, the phase two of the map? And if they do, who is that? Because someone has to step up and then reach out to the Historic Commission and start those dialogues. So it just got me thinking, what do you all want to do? What do you really want to do on this commission? What are your goals and objectives? And I think a couple of months, one-ish, 2 months ago, when I first was the chair, I shared a doc that I just sent you, Aaron.
Do you want me to share that?
Yeah. So I shared this document, which was me essentially pulling what I perceived to be interesting goals from the strategic plan. But that's me personally. And so this is what I shared at a particular meeting as some goals that exist in this strategic plan as we speak. One is develop a relationship with the Oregon Historical Society. One is create a template for a plaque. That was what was just suggested by Sandy. Goal three, presentations. Well, we're doing that. Goal four, commissions relations. Goal five, investigate public and private partnerships. Goal six, identify sites and strategies. Below that, and I'm happy to show this to you, Ken, in another time, but this is part of our charter, these powers and duties. And I'm not going to go over them right now, but I think it's important that we realize what they are. There's things like promoting the arts to enrich the lives of citizens through education and demonstration, working and assisting the parks and rec and the other with lands and structures, you know, so forth. So my point is this. I feel like I've just heard some really exciting things from commissioners, and maybe these are things you want to work on, maybe not. So I want to start fresh. And I want us to have goals, and I want to make sure that those goals are things that you're interested in. So I feel as though if the things Cassie is mentioning, if the things Stanley is mentioning are things we want to do, then we should follow through and do them. Do we need to establish and continue the relationship of MAP or HUB, or do we really just focus on finishing out the HUB we have right now? Are there other ideas? Are there other things you wish you were doing? Are there other sculptural projects that you wish to pursue or different goals? Do you want to create a plaque template? So I am here to facilitate you all making these ideas. I asked Aaron to perhaps take notes on what you might think are some important goals that we should achieve. And then we can revisit that at the next meeting and hear from Joel. Hopefully Joel will be here. And then really maybe from there make, Sandy Friend made a beautifully elaborate strategic plan, but maybe ours will be a little simpler. But I would love to see a strategic plan that we're doing some of the things. And I leave that up to you. So I guess my question is, do you wish to follow these old goals, do you wish to establish new goals? Let's start there.
I'm brand new, so I can, you know, you have to acknowledge for me that I'm a neophyte, and what I say may be ungrounded. I think we should have a strategic planning process, would be one, going forward. If there's an old one, we should look at it and understand what's there. There may be some to continue. There may be a process for weeding out all of that. I can't imagine not going forward with the HUB project in phase two. It amazes me to think that it's been that long just to get to the first one. And I'm wondering if I live long enough to get to four. And my goal would be to move to telescope the process so that I could see it. Yeah. I'm going to be super senior sometime. I don't know what the definition, I don't want to reveal my age, but Social Security started the year I was born, so that'll tell you. Anyway, I think we should have a strategic planning process and understand that and definitely have a strategic plan with action steps. What I gather from the conversations is that people are responsible for individual pieces, but as a new person, I couldn't possibly comprehend all the pieces that are floating, so I need a place to peg them. Okay, who's doing what? I think I volunteered to be on the phase two last time, working with Historic Art Commission. So anyway, that's a lot.
Great, Ken. Stanley.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good idea to sort of wipe the slate clean and review this strategic plan. I'm going to advocate continuing the HUB sculpture project. You know, I think that project really has legs and, you know, is a great sort of combination of art and historic stuff. I, think those installations will be valued for years and years and years. But there's budget concerns, obviously. I mean, you know, I think given our budget, we don't have a lot of room for other projects unless we can find other funding. So I think it's good maybe in our next meeting to really get consensus with all the commissioners to figure out exactly what we want to do. And there's always going to be side projects, side issues, but we have to figure out where to spend our money. And you know, I think that that's an important place to start. Hey, just a little side thing. I was going to send Ken my contact information, and I'm on the city website that lists the members. And the only people that have emails on there are you and Stephen. Can you get everybody's emails up there? So
that was a deliberate decision that was made by the recorder based on security recommendations from IT. They used to have every city employee's name, number, position, et cetera. And same thing with all the advisory commissions. Yeah. But they use web crawlers to go through web pages to get contact information and then do phishing attempts. So they've really clamped down on that.
Okay.
I'm more than happy to send out an email to everyone so that all of the commissioners, though, I'll do that at the end of this meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think actually Ken was saying that he wanted to talk with Peter. So.
Got it.
I can introduce Ken to Peter through email.
That'd be great. I just wanted to comment on Stanley's commentary. It seems to me that organizations spend a whole week developing their strategic plan or a weekend or a retreat, et cetera. It would surprise me if we could do this in the context of a regular meeting. So I just put that out there as to when and how we might package a real concentrated effort to build a new set of goals and objectives.
That's a good point. Aaron?
Yeah, to that point, in a pre-COVID world, generally there would be an annual meeting set for strategic planning. I generally wouldn't staff it because it would be a much longer meeting, but I would book the Siski room, for example, and you know, a long meeting was dedicated just to doing that. Like we've done in the past, when there's been meetings that I can't necessarily staff for you all, if you were interested in having a meeting dedicated to that, we could set it up and have it be recorded just without my involvement.
I see. So what you're saying is we could hold, I guess it's called a study session, correct?
It would be a study session, yeah.
And you wouldn't be there, but we could be there and it would be recorded.
It would be like I'm down the hall in my office while you're having your meeting.
All right. And I imagine that still is, since we're in Zoom, there has to be an invitation to the public.
Correct. It would be a posted public meeting. That's correct. And we need a minimum of 48 hours, but generally we post those a week out is policy.
All right. Okay. So that is something for us to consider, to have an actual study session. Let me hear from some other people. I have a strong desire to continue the hub sculpture. I want to hear from anyone else who would like to continue with planning some strategy or things that they're strongly interested in pursuing as a commission. Cassie.
Oh, go ahead, Destiny. I saw you unmute.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say that I agree with continuing with the hub structure, but I know we've talked about this on several occasions and I feel like it kind of was sprinkled throughout today, but really making a priority or putting an emphasis on some sort of just community and public arts, like knowledge that we share or going around and doing the presentations. I haven't formulated what that would look like, but I do think that there is a need for that. And obviously being sensitive to the COVID piece, but really just getting our community more involved.
Okay, great. Other thoughts?
I agree with what everyone said about the hub project. I fully support continuing that, holding that torch and seeing that through while I'm on the commission. And I also was going to say the same thing as Destiny. I think the pieces you're hearing me drop in about the fences and the utility boxes and the presentations for me is all about community involvement in public art. And that's what I feel really passionately about as well. So if it means in the meetings, focusing on hub sculpture, continuing that on and having us individually when we're not meeting, going out and doing whatever little bit of project we're inspired and have the time to do, I think that's great. And also I'm all for a strategic planning meeting. I think that would be wonderful, having just a chunk of time where we all connect about that.
Okay. Yes, Aaron.
Just a clarifying point here, because I feel like we're using hub and map interchangeably. The first phase of the map project, to be clear, are these five medallions and the one hub sculpture. The real question that we were trying to get to isn't, are we going to complete that sculpture? We are going to complete that sculpture. The question that we were trying to drive down in is, do we have the appetite to take on phase two, which would be more medallions and an additional hub sculpture? I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, I can speak to that slightly. The way we got this first phase done was we had a subcommittee. And I was on that subcommittee. And so, you know, what that did is that doubles the workload of the commissioners that are there, because we also met once a month, and it was a lot of work, to be honest with you, because you have to create a narrative. You have to figure out where things are going to go. You have to connect with people on the Historic Commission to put together exactly what message we need. And, you know, this is sort of separate from the art part. This is the medallions themselves are more related to the historic significance of those sites. So if we all agree that we want to, like Aaron said, we want to go to phase two, and eventually phase three, four, and five, we probably need to continue that subcommittee. And, you know, I guess everybody on the commission needs to figure out whether they have the appetite to commit to some extra time.
Excellent point. Yes. Yeah, I am definitely with Aaron here. I'm not talking about phase one. I am talking about phase two. Aaron.
And also, just not for nothing, but understanding the Historic Commission's appetite is important to this conversation as well.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right. And so that means someone needs to say, I am passionate enough to start reaching out to the Historic Commission. And I'm saying these are probably things to discuss once we're finished with phase one. But if it's on our mind, we need to make sure we're ready. And with that said, if another project comes along, what are we doing? You know, so I really want us to either be strong for going forward. I've heard other people say, why are we not putting art in this part of town or in this particular park? So I just want to make sure we're aware that we, because of budget constraints and time and effort, we have to really think about what we wish to put our time into and our budget into. The hub slash map is a big commitment. I know we're about out of time. And so, gosh, I guess we will maybe, I guess we might need to have a strategic study session. So I don't know, with 3 minutes remaining, let's consider that. And maybe I'll send an email out asking if maybe a Friday morning on another day you might have time for this. I respect people who have jobs and who might not be able to do this as well. Or if there's other times, an evening. Thank you. I think there's a lot of interesting ideas with the fences, utility boxes that that are being put forth. And I also have to, as a person of old institutional memory, go back to our city government's sign ordinance and the complexities of the sign ordinance, which really weren't mentioned today, but do cause a lot of interesting issues with these murals and with our involvement in murals on private properties or public facing properties. So that'll have to be a part of the discussion. My recollection with the utility boxes is I do have some institutional memory. So does Sandy. She has more recent in certain more iterations. And so we can talk more about that once again, if we're all interested. I want to get a sense of what we want to push forward because we're small and there has to be enough push. We keep talking. What do we want to move forward with? So we have 1 minute. So we'll continue this conversation. I'll start to reach out to you to consider what would work for you as far as another session, and we'll go from there. Unless you have any quick thoughts.
I would assume that we do the strategic planning first and then launch into the hub phase two if that and it sounds like there's consensus on that, but having said that, I'd be willing to be on that subcommittee.
Yay, excellent.
Great. All right, I agree. Let's do a little strategic planning and go from there. I think we're all for community work. What community work do we want to continue to push? I hear some hub rumblings. I'll reach out to you. Otherwise, you have a great week.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you.
Good to see you.
And everybody.
It's nice to see everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.